We'll go ahead and start out on House Bill 2033, a public hearing. I'm going to open. And Judith.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. House Bill 2033 revises the definition of minimum county road-based funding to mean $4,500 per mile of county roads that are arterial roads or collector highways for purposes of allocating monies from the State Highway Fund. It would declare an emergency effective July 1, 2007. You also have before you the Dash 1 amendments. Those amendments increase the funding available to counties to address their county road-based funding deficits. You'll see an increase in the Dash 1 amendments coming from the Highway Fund from $250,000 to $750,000. That brings the total pot increase from $1 million to $1.5 million that are available to the counties for those deficits. I also have for you here the proposed repealed section, which is Oregon Laws 2003, Chapter 618, Section 21. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. I'm going to go ahead and call up Representative Dallum and Art Schlack, if you kind of come up together. Go ahead.
Chair Byer and members of the committee, my name is Art Schlack. I'm with the Association of Oregon Counties, and we are pleased to be here today to speak to House Bill 2033. Let me just give you a little bit of background in terms of the special county program to kind of set the stage for where we are today. The special county program was started in 1991, the 91 legislative session. It was started because there were some counties that were small, had a minimum amount of revenue, that were really struggling to maintain their county road departments. And in 1991, at the request of, I believe, Gillum County and AOC was involved, the legislature started the special county program, and what they did was take $500,000 off the top of the county allocation to the highway fund for use in this program. In 1995, a couple years later, and this was started out as kind of a pilot, and then 95 came back, the program was extended, and at that time, the funds in the pot, or the reserve account here, was $500,000 from the counties and $250,000 from ODOT. ODOT became a partner in this program. Then we move forward to 2003. And in 2003, the legislature again addressed the special county program and did two things. One, there was a change in the formula, which we're going to address here today with the bill. And also there was an interest to increase funds, and at that time, and I won't give you all the history, but to say that the county's contribution was increased to $750,000, ODOT's contribution to the account was maintained at $250,000, okay? At that time, there was also a sunset placed. The sunset goes into effect in July 1st, I believe, 2008, that would revert the county's contribution to $500,000. ODOT's would stay there too, okay? And as a result of a couple of things, the first is the formula that was developed in 2003 and put into statute didn't work real well. And in fact, a number of the counties had questions and issues with it. And as a result, and you'll hear from the president of OASIS later this afternoon, the county roadmasters and engineers spent about a number of months developing a new formula that they all could subscribe to. And that new formula is in the base bill here that's before you. In essence, what it does is it changes the formula for distribution of funds from one that is based on the concept that you need $1 million or more in your road budget, road program budget, to function adequately. And if you if your total revenues fall below the $1 million, then you can access the special county program to bring you up to that $1 million level. The formula that is in House Bill 2033 is based on the number of road miles that a county has, and we know the number of miles in every county is different. And so it's you have some counties that have small populations have a lot of road miles, as an example. So it's based on the number of collector and arterial miles that are found in a county. And the other part of the formula is it is accepted that you need $4,500 per mile in your budget to be able to maintain that the road network that you have in your county. And if you fall below the $4,500 per mile based on the revenue that you have available, then again you can access the special county program to bring you up to a level that you can continue to maintain at a minimal level, maintain and preserve the road system that you have in your county at this point. So that's the thought. And AOC wholly endorses the change in the formula that we bring to you. And so we would ask you to support the bill with the new formula.
Thank you, Art.
Yes, question.
Thank you, Chair. When you say AOC fully supports this, that includes the larger counties as
that
well?
That includes 36 counties.
Thank you very much.
Chair Byers and members of the Transportation Committee, for the record, I'm John Dollum, a representative from House District 59, and I might add, I represent approximately one-sixth of Oregon. I'd like to thank you for the opportunity and the courtesy to speak to House Bill 2033. The bill redefines the minimum county road-based funding. First, I'd like to give you an overview from my perspective and then an explanation for the Dash 1 Amendment. There are two road systems in Oregon, the state system and the county system. Sharing revenue is necessary to preserve both. The economy of scale, rural over and with the urban, makes the minimum county road-based funding a good idea for both, if we are to consider farm-to-market at all. Minimum county-based road funding has been an important issue in House District 59 since the inception of the county road program in 1991. The essence of this special county program is to help the counties with the greatest need. All 36 of Oregon's counties have made significant contributions. You'll be hearing from several of the counties in my district that benefit from this program, and I'm very pleased to see them here. There are some very good friends in their group. I'm sure that they will tell you that the special county program is absolutely necessary to their counties. Counties with small populations and large road networks to maintain can be faced with failing road system and bereft of the funds needed to maintain the investment to their road system without road-based funding. Currently, the program is funded with $75,000 contribution from the counties. The county contribution is scheduled to be reduced to $500,000. However, it has been brought to my attention through the Association of Oregon Counties that the counties would be willing to maintain their current contribution of $750,000 if ODOT would match that number. And again, I'm going to tell you that there are two road systems, and both equally important and relying upon one another. The Dash 1 Amendment is offered to House Bill 2033 to make the contribution from ODOT and the counties equal. For the sake of our other road system, I ask you to consider the Dash 1 Amendment. Thank you for your time, and I appreciate your support. If you have any questions, I'll see to it that Art answers them.
Thank you. Representative Butler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Art, John, the bill talks about both arterial highways and collector highways. I want to make certain, and Representative Dallum, your testimony talks about the fact that there are two road systems in the state of Oregon, both those within the state system and within the county system. I'm a little unclear when I read the definition of arterial and collector. They both talk about highways. An arterial is a highway. It means a highway that is used primarily by through traffic. And a collector or a collector highway means a highway that services primarily to funnel traffic from one local highway to another or between arterials and a local highway. Can you help me? And I probably need somebody to give us a little further. These aren't state highways we're talking about. These are local highways maintained by local dollars. Is that correct?
Yes, and I will defer to Art in a moment, but in chatting back and forth with several, Representative Butler, I think it would be fair to say that there's not a road in the counties that I represent that wouldn't fall under one of those definitions, except perhaps for the long driveways out of the place. That's how I would define that, having been on those roads, driven on those roads. They all fall under one of those two definitions. But I'll look to Art for an official county definition.
Chair Barr, Representative Butler, you've heard counties talk about the integrated road system. However, you know, it's the cities, counties, and the state highways. That's the total system in the county. This bill only deals with county roads. Does not deal with city roads, does not deal with state highways at this point. And there is, the counties have defined their road system in terms of local roads. There's local access roads. There's also collectors and arterials that are identified within their road system, and that's what we're talking about here. When we developed this new formula, we reviewed the formula with ODOT because they're the ones that has the designations of roads that have been done locally, and asked them if they could implement this readily, and they answered yes, that ODOT could, based on the definitions that we have, implement this formula as they have previous formulas.
Clarification, Madam Chair.
Yes.
Thank you. Art, both you and Representative Dallum, in describing this, have talked about roads. Now, let me go back and read what an arterial and a collector is. An arterial or arterial highway means a highway that is used primarily by through traffic, and a collector or a collector highway means a highway that serves primarily to funnel traffic from one local highway to another or between arterials and local highways. Now, we're using highways in the code and the Oregon Revised Statutes, and you're talking about roads. We're talking about roads, highways, as being the same kind of thing, whether they be paved or unpaved or whether they be fully developed, as long as they are delivering people between the points that they need to get to and from. Is that correct?
Chair Beyer, Representative Butler, that is correct. And as I indicated, each county has provided ODOT with a system of roads within their county, and there is a classification of arterials and collectors within that. Collectors primarily collect traffic from the driveways, get them to the arterials, which connect communities, as well as connecting to the state highway. So some of those can be gravel in some counties, and some of those will be paved.
Further follow-up, if I may, Madam Chair. The counties have provided this data on these collectors and arterials to the ODOT. What's the most current iteration of that summary of information? Is it current, provided annually, biannually? How often is it? And the reason that I ask this isn't to try and play stump the chump. The reason I'm asking this is because I am concerned that as ODOT puts in a belt line in a community, that changes the complexion of what used to be arterials and collectors, roads and highways, and that may change the total number of miles within any community. So what's the date, and how often is this data that's provided to the ODOT updated?
Chair Beyer, Representative Butler, I do not have a date that I could give you right now. I'd have to check on that and get that to you.
A clarification?
Yes.
Is it current?
I believe it's, Madam Chair, Representative Butler, I believe it's current at this point. It functions as part of the STIP and other elements at this point of the integrated road system, so I would say it's current.
Okay, so we do have local input on a regular basis and local local updating of the same. I just wanted to clarify that for the record, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Representative Gilman, then Tomei.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Art, we create this fund of $1.5 million, and what happens to the balance if all of it isn't allocated?
Chair Beyer, Representative Gilman, I can assure you, based on the needs and the information that we have, that all that $1.5 million is allocated and then some. Or could, you know, we could actually go beyond that, but at this point, that's where we're at, is the $1.5 million.
Thank you. Representative Tomei.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Art, could you explain to us why you changed, I guess it's on page 2, line 38, minimum county road-based funding means it had said $1 million. Now you're saying $4,500 per mile. Why that change?
Chair Beyer, Representative Tomei, if you recall, the previous formula, or the formula that's currently in statute, is based on the fact that regardless of the size of the county that you have, that you need $1 million. $1 million is the base that you need in order to have your road department funded and be able to conduct the work that's necessary. Okay, so you can imagine at this point, and I'll use Gillam County, which is a relatively small county, with not the number of miles that you'd find, let's say, in Harney County, which is a very large county. And the problem with the formula is that it treated the small counties with less number of miles, right, and the larger counties with more miles the same.
Got it.
And that's why the equity was viewed to be a problem. Great. And that's why we're changing the formula.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Smith.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Art, on the same line, page 238, $4,500 per mile up county road. Share with us how you came up with that number. Knowing my conversations with, let's say, Burke O'Brien from Morrow County, $4,500 isn't going to fill a pothole on a highway. So how did we come up with that?
Chair Beyer, Representative Smith, we have two roadmasters that participated in the development of the formula that you have, and I'm going to defer to them at this point to answer that question. Uh-oh. It is viewed as a minimum. Again, this is a minimalistic approach to trying to find the minimum that we have available.
In my background in economic development, I can assure this committee $4,500 per mile of county road. That's a spit in the river, not even in the bucket.
Let's look at that this way. The figure is an excellent way to allocate money to the counties. It doesn't mean that every mile of road in the county will get $450, but it's not a good way to spend money, but it's a good way to allocate money.
I'm,
I've been trying to work the numbers up for the last 3 weeks.
Tax and spend Republicans, I tell you.
And I can show you where the revenue could come from.
Any more questions? Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative.
Thank you very much, Madam Chair and Committee.
Okay.
Heart, all the heart.
I have six people here. I'll bring three up at a time. And I, Judge Birch, Judge Grasty, and Judge Thompson.
Ladies first.
Ladies first, real thanks, guys. Chair Byers and members of the committee, I'm Jean Birch. I'm the Wheeler County Judge, and I want to thank you for this time to be able to talk to you today about transportation in Wheeler County. We have been one of the quote-unquote forest counties that benefited from forest fees and PL 106 and the Secure County Payments Bill, which is looks like it's going away. And we would unfortunately fall into this program. Wheeler County, we've looked at what we have. We were pretty famous about 13 years ago for it looked like we were going bankrupt, the same thing that is afflicting Curry County right now in Josephine. We managed to pull ourselves out of it, and we've been going along on a very, very conservative basis. But when the, for whatever reason, the non-allocation of PL 106, the non-renewal of it, we sat down and took a good hard look at where we are with our road department. We are losing $1,350,000 that will never come back. Our cash carryover for our road department was $1,250,000. So I think that shows you where we're going to be. In a very conservative way, our road department will be gone in the present situation in 2 years. I don't know how you operate a general government for even public safety without a road department. I just don't know how you do it, and maybe we'll have to find out. But one thing that we would be eligible for is a small county bill. And that is why this is incredibly important. We've tried to figure out any way we can to backfill this. We're not allowed to use tax dollars, but if we could, we only raise $750,000 in property taxes per year. Our county is basically publicly owned. And we have... As an example, there's only one-sixth of the whole county that would pay full property tax, and that means the little lady, widow, in fossil in the single-wide trailer pays 100%. Big landowners aren't paying anything at all or very little. So this bill is very, very critical to us, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
No? See, no good. I have a quick question. Are you at this time eligible for this funding?
We have been. I was, some years we fell into it, and because it's based on that $1 million formula, and if we didn't receive as much in the forest fees, and if we didn't receive as much in fund exchange, federal gas tax, yes, we did fall into it. I think we could have gone along without it then because we had the other money coming in. In the future, I think it's going to be critical for us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, next.
Yeah. Chair Byer and members of the committee, I'm Steve Grasty, Harney County Judge. Greetings from Harney County, largest county in the state, 10,228 square miles, and as way of advertising, home to the Steens Mountains. And I want to thank you for the opportunity to address this group. Well, not in the recent past, Harney County has been a recipient of the Spatial County Fund. the authorization of the secure rural schools, provided 6 years of funding for our roads. And during that time, Harney County was able to complete a number of projects that let us get ahead of the curve a little bit. We've done things in a manner that will decrease the maintenance cost, at least in the foreseeable future, the next 10 to 30 years, and we've slightly increased our road reserve. But we're now facing a future where there is no outside funding for our roads, nor are we able to replace the good-paying jobs that we used to have thanks to change in national policy on the national forest. Our county will suffer the second greatest percentage of loss on the road budget of any county. Certainly some of the ONC counties are much greater in dollars, but percentage-wise on the road department, ours is number two. We also have the largest number of miles of collector roads in the state. We have about 2,100 miles of road, about 900-plus miles of roads that are improved, that we maintain. 500 and some odd are collector roads out of that list. And it's important to recognize that it is part of a state highway system. I heard it described as two systems, and certainly is. By the same token, people that drive out there as visitors don't see the difference and don't know when they're on a county road or a state highway. So our county does hope in the future to receive or to access some of these monies, assuming that Secure Rural Schools isn't reauthorized in some manner. So that you know, in the past, Harney County was calculated to receive the entire amount. It was $750,000 in that particular year. And we had gone so far down and had so many miles, even with the $1 million basis, we were going to get it all. That was the year, the first year of Secure Rural Schools. And it was pretty difficult for the county to justify receiving a substantial amount of money from the federal government, at the same time taking this entire fund. And Harney County elected not to take that money and to allow all the other counties, that those with the greatest need, to receive that entire amount. I can't tell you which counties got it, and it really doesn't matter. This money has come off the top of the county's portion of the gas tax for years. We've shared it with one another. There's been little favoritism. It's come in as it applies in the formula. The new formula that's in the bill that you're looking at, the counties have all agreed to it. We've spent many, many hours looking at it. We think we can live with it. And I hope Harney County never gets to where it needs it again, but the possibility exists it could happen. Without it, residents and visitors are going to see potholes, and if you'll excuse my flippant remark, not just on county roads, or not just on state highways, but in the future on county roads as well. They're going to see a lack of maintenance on the road system. They're going to see snow removal on the second or the third day rather than the day of a snow event. More jobs are going to be lost in the county due to staff cuts at the road level. In 15 years, we've cut the road department in half, and we're at a point where one more person, we've got more equipment than we have people. And we will not be able to keep up with the most basic level of maintenance. And we already have a few roads that we do snow removal on the second day today. Harney County supports this bill and the amendment, and we request the committee do so as well. And I'll answer questions if you like.
Thank you. Representative Butler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Judge Grassley, for coming over. I could ask this question to Judge Birch as well, but you have a much larger county. When you're talking about 2,100 miles of county-maintained highways, which could include both arterials and collectors, recognizing that those bring folks in from faraway points up to state highways to get back into town and those kinds of things. 2,100 miles at $4,500 minimum county road base would be a total of about 9.45. But it's my understanding that this bill then limits the amount that you put in for this particular purpose at 750, and then that's matched by 750 of ODOT money. Is that correct?
Chair Beyer and Representative Butler, let me clarify that. The 2,100 miles of road in Harney County is the total number of road miles. We only maintain a little over 900, and for the purposes of this bill, you heard Mr. Schlack describe earlier how each county identified the collector in the arterial roads. We only have 500 and some odd. I'm hesitant to quote. I'm thinking it's 543, but it's somewhere in the 500. So it's not the 2,100 miles of total roads.
583.
I'm told.
And without doing the math, we're still talking about the 750 local contribution and the 750 state contribution, irrespective of the fact that 583 times 4,500 might be something larger than 750,000. Thank you.
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just so I'm clear on this, the 750, the county contribution, is that where the 36 counties all take a little piece of their pie and put it into this? And so Art's shaking his head, yes. So the larger counties are stepping up and recognizing that there's a partnership that exists here, and they're willing to give a dollar or two of theirs to make this happen.
That has been true since this started. The county share of the gas tax, this comes off the top of it right at the very beginning. And I'm going to look at Art and see if I'm right.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you.
And let me follow up now, if I may, Madam Chair. The 583, Judge Grassi, of arterial and collector miles, does that change much in Harney County? Is that has been a long-term figure? We had testimony from Art Schlack indicating that it is a current number, but how often does that change? Does it change with a change in demographics or location of lots of new subdivisions and homes in your county? Or?
Chair Beyer and Representative Butler, I don't know in my time in office, which goes back to 1995, I don't know of Harney County ever adding a mile of road nor improving an unimproved road. My memory may be wrong, but it would be extremely limited. In the future, it's possible that we will quit maintaining roads and it could decrease based on funding, but that would be speculation too.
Thank you.
Representative Tomei.
I'm going to ask a question that is awkward. In the area where I live, one of the things we're looking at is an increase in the local gas tax because we're having the same problems that you are. How would your constituents feel about either a local gas tax or an increase in the state gas tax? Oh, that's a tough one, isn't it?
Chair Beyer, Representative Tomei. My quick answer to that is I suspect a recall would happen immediately after we put it on the ballot. With the challenges and as fragile as the economy is in Harney County, I have no idea how anyone would support that. We had an income tax levy either 2 or 3 years ago, it went down 7-1.
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Wait, we have a lady who would like to answer.
Oh.
Well, thank you. Chair Bayh and member and Representative Tomei. Yes, I have to echo what Judge Grassi said. I know that it would go down a lot more than that. Our economy is so fragile and so bad, and then also the fact that we only have 1,550 people in Wheeler County. I know that that would not go anywhere at all.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
You're welcome. Representative Smith.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I share this with everyone in the room here. The economy that we're talking about in these counties is very fragile, and we're dealing in many cases with the poorest of the poor. In Spray, Oregon, which is part of Wheeler County, the per capita income is approximately $14,000. And because of their isolation, they're also having to pay above average fuel prices. And so to add an additional burden on top of the price of fuel that really is probably 30 to 40% higher than the rest of the state, matched with that low per capita income, it's tough. It's tough for them to try and generate that additional revenue. And then you place on top of that the fact that the vast majority in Wheeler County of their property is publicly owned, and so they're not able to turn to property taxes. It's a tough situation for a lot of these rural counties.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, I have to say this, that we call alternative transportation out there the Schwinn or the Red Wing model. rural Oregon's alternative transportation is, if the red pickup won't start, then try the white one.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Chair Beyer, members of the committee, my name is Gary Thompson. I'm the Sherman County judge. I'm here to ask your support for this bill because we're probably one of the major users of this bill. Two-thirds of our road department is based on the dollars that we get from the small county road fund. Sherman County and Gillam County are the only two counties in the state that have never had trees. We've never shared any revenue from the forests. This bill originally was set up for Sherman, Gillam, and Wheeler County, I believe, in originally. So this is basically two-thirds of our total road budget. If this goes away, the first thing we do is lay off half of our road department. The second thing we do is we sell the equipment because there's no need to even maintain. We won't even be able to maintain the roads that we do have. So I urge your support for this bill. It's very important for Sherman County.
Thank you.
Is there any questions?
I don't see any. Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you.
And then I have Judge Joyce. And I'll go ahead and I have, I think, Dewey Kennedy, Gillam County Roadmaster, and Darren Lane, Linn County Roadmaster.
Madam Chair, I think Judge Joyce wins the award for coming the furthest of this hearing today.
Uh-huh. We'll go ahead and let you go first, okay. Yes.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Dan Joyce, County Judge from Malheur County, Vail, Oregon, and I appreciate the opportunity to speak for you or answer any questions you have. I think most of this issue has been covered, but just a few things. The three smaller counties that this money was allocated for originally, they gave some of that up in June of 05. It was about $123,000. And I think it's obvious and apparent from the people that have spoken here today that we're here collectively and we're here because we get along and we appreciate what's going on, what you're doing for us. Our county's in a little bit different position than most of us. We don't have trees. We operate under road districts. There's five of them in our county, and they're all funded a little bit differently. And when the Secure Rural Schools money goes away, then we get $0. We operate on PILT money. That PILT money comes in, and it goes into our general fund, and it goes back out into the road fund or the police department, police, fire, public safety. So those different entities are competing for the dollars at the same time. So we have to make a choice about where the money goes, you know. And then generally public safety comes out first. And so at any rate, we also appreciate the fact that Representative Butler's here. He was 8 years a county commissioner on our in our county, and he truly does understand what our needs are. Thank you. Any questions?
Any questions?
Madam Chair, Dan, I don't mean to put you on the spot. Judge Joyce, I don't mean to put you on the spot, but Malheur County is a little smaller than Harney County, much more populated, probably 4 to 5 times the population. The total number of arterial and collector miles, do we know what that is?
Roughly 1,740 miles. When I worked for the county or for the road district in the 80s, the district that I covered had 162 miles. Those were miles that District Number 1 did not take care of, and they were taxed separately. But this money actually does go back to them in a small portion because it's all the same amount of miles. We're about 9,000 square miles as opposed to Harney's at a little over 10,000.
And, Madam Chair, I just called to your attention that, again, when you come back to the formula of maintenance at $4,500, now I recognize that doesn't put a top seal on that road each year. It just, there's no way that it does. But over a period of several years, that will keep the top seal on a road. It'll keep a graveled road graded. It'll keep some snow removed on an annual basis. But when you've got 1,740 miles of arterial and collector highways in a county, they can anticipate expenditures on the basis of 4,500 of the local money would be about $7 million per annum that would be needed. Now, I'm going to guess that if we ask Judge Joyce what his total road budget would be, that basically what you're saying is that some roads that are developed are going to, and Judge Grasty indicates that next day removal is satisfactory. It has to be satisfactory. You just don't have the crew to do it. My concern is it becomes a huge safety issue. In addition, you've got an infrastructure in these large counties, and not just counted upon for the large counties. There are a lot of destination location, the Steens Mountains, Kiger Gorge in Mount Hare County, the Owyhees, and the Hells Canyon, and other beautiful places in a recreation location to go to in these counties. The concern I have is that those are used by Oregonians, those are used by all citizens of the surrounding counties. As those roads then are allowed to deteriorate, and go back to the rutted wheelbase roads from the pioneer days, then they will never recover these. This is a true loss in our infrastructure. And so I think it's really important that we pay attention as to how we can get the and encourage the Department of Transportation to come to the table to make sure that these monies and to do so straight up, straightforward and honestly, not this business of yes, we will allocate $750,000 for each of these counties and say, and our people are going to decide where it's going to be applied in the county. We're going to take care of some county road ourselves. So I think that's very important. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Representative Buckley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Ms. Joyce, what is your road budget, out of curiosity?
Our road is right now it's about $2,045,000.
$2,045,000.
It was 2.5, 3 years ago.
May I follow up?
Yes, follow up.
And how much in a given year have you used this fund in the past? What's been the top year?
We've used all of it every year we've gotten it.
And so you've used the total?
There's no carryover.
Okay, great. Thank you.
And Madam Chair, if I may,
yes,
I think that's very, very important. Some counties that have ability to accumulate excess because they may have some federal forest funds and other kinds of things. I think that's very important, and I think it's laudable that some counties have millions of dollars set aside. But in a county where you don't have any O&C monies, any federal forest safety net monies, those kinds of things, every dollar is applied to the highway every year. And my concern, again, The formula is $4,500 is the average cost to maintain, and when we're talking about snow removal, we're not talking about a couple of inches three or four times a year. You may be talking 3 or 4 feet and drifts of 8 or 9 feet in some of those portions that have to be removed from those areas. So there's no money that accumulates in a fund where the cost is $4,500 per year. A total of about $7 million needed, and with about $2.5 million available.
Thank you.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
Just a follow-up on that one. 1980, there was 22, or 1985, there was 22 people working for our county road department. Today, there's 14. And what we're looking at is those people are going to retire out. We won't hire them back.
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'm going to ask you folks, but Art, if you could nod. These, what we're talking about in terms of dollars from the Department of Transportation are gas tax dollars. Okay, and so when we're talking gas tax, we're talking the near $3 billion of gas tax dollars that this Department of Transportation generates. I just want to put this in perspective. $3 billion, B, billion dollars from this Department of Transportation, and we're looking for a couple hundred thousand here. So put this all in perspective.
Thank you. Okay. Go ahead.
Chair Beyer, members of the committee. My name is Dewey Kennedy. I'm the Gillum County Roadmaster. Thank you for having me here. Gillum County receives no timber payments. A large portion of our road budget is this small county's special allotment. We have 428 miles of road. 310 of that are gravel. 118 are paved. With the increased cost of operation and with the loss of this funding, we'll be forced to let a lot of those paved roads go back to gravel. This year alone, I'm going to let almost 3 miles go. Just, we don't have the resources to even think about putting it back. Over these roads in Gillum County, farmers and ranchers haul over 5 million bushels of grain every year, 5,000 tons of hay, and 10 to 16,000 head of cattle every year. There's over 500,000 bushels of grain that comes out of Morrill County that goes into grain storage and shipping elevators in Gillum County. There's also logs, cattle, and hay that come out of Wheeler County that come over my county road system. That's a little over 500 million pounds of freight, not counting the weight of the trucks and trailers that haul those products. That's the main economy in our area. That's basically what keeps us going. We maintain our system with a 10-man crew. One working roadmaster, myself, five road department equipment operators, and three rock crusher operators. Every man on my crew can operate every machine we have. I have to be able to put every man in every machine depending on what's going on. We produce rock for Gillum County. We've done projects for ODOT, cities of Condon, cities of Arlington, all the local landowners. That's how they keep their farm to market roads up, their field roads. They buy rock from us. That helps to keep the crusher running. If we lose this funding, we'll be forced to shut our crusher down. It'll mean loss of materials for our county roads, plus three jobs. That's one third of my road crew. It's over 40% of my budget is this small county's road allotment. That's all I have.
Question? Representative Butler?
Madam Chair, this is a kind of an interesting perspective. Dewey, you indicate that your county owns a rock crusher, that you actually move portably around the county where you need it?
Yes.
Judge Joyce, does your county have a rock crusher?
No.
Madam Chair, the reason I'm concerned about that is that, I really don't know anything about what the needs in Gillum County are, but I know that we've done cost studies in a larger county, and it's cheaper to sometimes hire rock crushing gun. Perhaps Roadmaster Dewey or Kennedy could explain how you can afford a rock crusher in a much smaller county.
Madam Chair, Representative Butler, there are no contractors in our area. Logistically, to place a rock crusher in our county, if we crush rock, say, in the middle of the county
and haul rock to our county roads over our system. Most of my trucks are 15 to 20 years old. Price of fuel, couldn't maintain the fleet. Not only that, tearing up the roads, hauling the gravel. The rock crusher is something that Gillum County's had way before me. And it's kept in our fleet, maintained. We do have stockpiles of rock around the county, but they won't last long if it's shut down.
Thank
and
you.
Our system will suffer from it.
And Madam Chair, I don't mean to micromanage. That's not the intention. I know that we've done cost studies in a larger county, and you can find rock crushers that'll go to, and you can't do it every year. You might be able to do it once every 3 years, based upon these funds being available. When you say, okay, this is a year that we'll spend $250,000 in rock crushing, we'll have a rock crusher start at this end of the county, do 5,000 yards here, 2,000 yards there, and 1,500 yards there, and that's that's how we're going to get, and they move through the county as they come in, and you have to save your nickels and dimes and take them out of from underneath the couches and those kinds of things, the cushions and the couches, in order to do that. But I just didn't realize a small county like Gillum might have a piece of equipment like that. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, my name is Darren Lane. I'm the Linn County Roadmaster, and I'm currently serving as the president of the Oregon Association of County Engineers and Surveyors, which is the group of the county road officials in Oregon. And I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to provide testimony today. The main purpose for my being here is to just reaffirm that the road officials in the state of Oregon for the counties have reached an agreement that this is the right thing to do. And I wanted to convey that message to you, and that's the large counties, the small counties, all together. We understand that it's extremely difficult to manage a road system without enough money, and it's just unimaginable to try to manage a road system with the kind of funds that these folks have available to them. Just to put that in perspective, we're talking about $4,500 per mile for collectors and arterials. I believe that the state average for the counties is approximately $20,000 per mile available. That's the state average. It's in that neighborhood. So you can see that we're talking bare bones basic funding here as a basis for this formula. We're not talking about, you know, enough money to go out and pave roads. Just a comment there. There was some questions about that Representative Butler had regarding the mileage and the classification, and if it's okay with you, I'd like to provide some clarification there. There's a document called the Oregon Mileage Report that is published, I believe it's either every year, or every other year. That document is the official mileage report for the state. It contains the mileage from the state highway system, the counties, and the city streets. And those miles are updated prior to the updating of that book by the counties. We provide that information to the state. Also, with regard to functional classification is pretty well established for all of the roads. And so at this point, we're in sort of a maintain it or update it mode. And so if you want to change the functional classification of a road, you have to go through the process of determining that it meets the requirements for the change in classification that you want to do, and then submit those documents to the state so that the federally recognized functional classification will change. And that's something that, based on the original classification, maybe was established 20, 30 years ago. You may have had development or other things, or just natural changes in transportation patterns that might make a local road into a collector, or to the contrary, might make a collector road into a local. And so those numbers are pretty solid, and they're difficult to change. And so one of the things that I would want to try to convey to you is that I suspect that there would be little opportunity for someone to just wholesale go out and say, hey, I'm going to change all my local roads to collectors, and we're going to increase our share. I don't think that's a likely scenario with this. I think that's pretty much all I have, and I'd be more than happy to answer any questions if anybody has any. So.
I guess not.
Thanks.
Representative Smith, was your question answered on how they came up with?
Yeah, but I do have another question, okay. Attorney, and I'm not sure if it's you I should ask or who I should ask. I'm noticing as I look out in the audience that the Oregon Department of Transportation. I'm noticing as I look out in the audience that the Oregon Department of Transportation is not even attending this hearing, and that concerns me.
It must mean that they're just okay with this.
They must be okay.
Silence means consent, Representative.
Well, we ought to take that as a troubling sign as a committee. Whether they support or oppose this, they ought to be here.
Well,
so I just shared that with you.
Right. And I will say that the department has just seen an amendment and didn't come because they hadn't had it long enough to be able to.
May I respond? And this, yes. Please, Madam Chair, this is no commentary whatsoever on you or your leadership. The Oregon Department of Transportation, they're big boys or big girls. Mm-hmm. They ought to be able to come here on a minute's notice, because I can assure you when it's Ways and Means time and we're in June 29th, they'll be able to toss amendments around very quickly, read them, and review them. I think they're doing a disservice to the counties. I think it's very disrespectful to the counties that they're not here to at least listen to the issue. That's all I'll say, Madam.
Thank you, and I can appreciate that.
Madam Chair, I'll use my famous line. ODOT should be at the table, because if they're not at the table, they're either on the menu or soon will be.
Okay, thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
That was all I had signed up. I don't know if there was anyone else out there that had anything they wanted to add. If you do.
Madam Chair, as long as I'm here, I'm Burke O'Brien. I'm the Public Works Director in Morrow County. I dropped by to attend this on last-minute notice. Our county has been in the past a recipient of these monies. When the PL 106 dollars came into effect, that actually helped us to the point that we didn't have to do that anymore. However, with that money going away, we probably are going to be looking at that again. We're one of those small counties, large in land mass, small in population, small in revenues. Our total registered vehicles are just at 14,000. That calculates just a little over $600,000 in gas tax money to support a 1,000-mile road system. In the past, we've gone through downsizing prior to the PL 106 money, 20-man road crew to a 17-man road crew, six road graders to three road graders. We're still at that spot. And I can assure you that to the counties that are hardest hit by this, it is a matter of life and death if this money happens or doesn't happen. That's really all I have to say, and I appreciate you taking the time to listen to me. Any questions?
Thank you for coming up. And I have one quick question for Art Schlack, if he would mind coming up. Art, can you give us an idea of how many counties have used this over the past number of few years, and how many might be eligible going forward?
Chair Barr, the last 5 years, there's been about a half a dozen counties that have gone in and out of being able to access this fund. Based on what we understand the revenues to be for, let's say, this year, and if 106.393, nothing happens, there would be up to 12 counties that would be able to access this this fund based on the formula that you're looking at within the base bill.
Thank you. All right. I guess that's just the one thing I wanted cleared up. And
those counties, east counties, west counties, coastal counties.
Chair Beyer, Representative Butler, those counties I would characterize as all being east side counties.
Thank you.
The only one that would even be close to be considered west side, which I wouldn't consider it, is Wasco.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank everybody for coming. I appreciate it. I'm going to go ahead and close the public hearing. And
could I just add to that, Madam Chair? People have come hundreds and hundreds of miles to be here today, and the committee, you've thanked us for hearing you. We want to thank you for coming and telling us your story. Thank you so much.
Yes, thank you. Okay. All right. I am going to open a work session on House Bill 2422.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. House Bill 2422 increases the cigarette tax and continuously appropriates monies from the increase to the Department of Transportation for elderly and disabled transportation services. It modifies the allocation to the general fund, cities, and counties. It applies to cigarette tax reporting periods beginning on or after the effective date, which would take the measure would take effect on the 91st day following sine die. You have before you the dash 3 amendments. Those amendments delete sections 1 through 4 and replaces it with the following. The increase in the cigarette tax would be 1 mil per cigarette, which comes out to 2 cents per pack, and continuously appropriates those monies as follows: 84.28% to the Department of Transportation for the elderly and disabled transportation services, 0.45% to cities, the same percentage to counties, as well as the tobacco use reduction account, 11.44% to the Oregon Health Plan Fund, and finally 2.93% to the general fund. It would apply to cigarette distributions just a little bit differently. That is starting the first day of the month following the effective date, which remains at the 91st day after following sine die, and specifies distributor reporting requirements. We have received a fiscal statement on this measure. It has no revenue impact. Just for the information of the committee, Speaker Merkley has authorized you to add a referral to the Revenue Committee if you so choose. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Judith. Colleagues, we finally have the amendments that reduce the amount to about where we need it, hold the cities and counties all harmless on this, and it would be my intention to go ahead and accept a motion to adopt the dash 2 and then hopefully move this on over to revenue.
The dash 2?
Dash 3, dash sorry.
Three. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Madam Chair, just very quickly. Judith, do you know, was this increase included in the co-chair's budget that has been submitted?
No.
It wasn't?
It was
okay.
Not.
Okay. Thank you.
The other question then, Madam Chair, would be, was the anticipated increase in senior and handicapped and disabled transportation anticipated by the co-chairs?
No, it was not.
Thank you.
Colleagues, I don't think there was any inclusion of additional cigarette tax actually in the co-chairs budget. That's all.
I think they did include 2201. Yeah, the Healthy Kids, I think, is included in the co-chair's budget. That was one of three taxes: the provider tax for health care, the 2201 for Healthy Kids, and the transfer tax for real estate for housing.
Right.
Yeah, for public housing. I think we're the three that they, as I recall, Madam Chair.
Yes, and I am probably wrong. I know that I'm not quite sure how it was stated in the co-chair budget, whether, I mean, they're depending on.
They are dependent there.
Of an additional.
Include healthy kids dependent on the back of that.
Yes. So.
Just really quick, Madam Chair. Colleagues, I just want to share with you, I have complete respect for each and every one of you on this issue. I will be voting no on this, on the amendments and the House bill. I truly am of the belief that more Oregonians ought to be stepping up and paying for this service, and to single out a group of citizens who are, in my view, an easy group to single out on this issue, I don't think is right. And so while I think the cause is very, very worthwhile, I can't think of anything more important in this committee than making sure that our most vulnerable Oregonians have transportation access. I'm just very concerned with the methodology that we are attending that, and so I just want to share that on the record.
Thank you. So noted.
Madam Chair, I want to first of all honor you for bringing the bill forward, and I want to let you know that I appreciate the Dash 3 amendments, which would hold harmless and make whole the local districts. And I would intend to vote yes on the appending of Amendment Dash 3. Unfortunately, that will be the only yes vote that I'll be able to give to this bill, because I feel that I have a duty and an obligation as an Oregonian who pays property tax and income tax and other user fees, but I would not be contributing not one single dime towards these folks who, as Representative Smith said, have tremendous needs and are very worthy of receiving these kinds of funds. So with that, I would just express my concern for those of us who, and as I look around the committee, I can't see a single person here that I'm aware that either chews or smokes or goes what the girls with do.
Representative.
I just want to point out that Representative Butler does know everything about all members of this committee.
Well, I'm going to tell Mrs. Gilman too.
Thank you. I'd like to move the Dash 3 amendment to House Bill 2422.
Thank you. Representative Tomei moves the Dash 3 amendments dated 3-2307 to House Bill 2422. Any discussion? Seeing none, those of the opinion, the Dash 2 amendments dated.
Dash 3.
I've really got that in my head. Dash 3 amendments dated 3-2307 should be adopted. We'll vote aye. Those opposed, no, and the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Buckley.
Aye.
Representative Butler.
Yes.
Representative Gilman.
Aye.
Representative Reed.
Aye.
Representative Smith.
No.
Representative Tomei.
Aye.
Aye.
The motion carries. The Dash 3 amendments have been adopted.
Madam Chair, it will have to go to revenue,
yes.
Right? So we'll go directly from here to revenue. It won't go to the floor.
Yes.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2422 as amended to the Committee on Revenue. Pardon?
Do you need a do-pass recommendation?
It's a do-pass recommendation. Thank you, Representative.
Thank you. Representative Tomei moves House Bill 2422 to the floor with a do-pass recommendation and the bill be as amended and the bill be referred to the Committee on Revenue. Any discussion? Seeing none, those of the opinion, House Bill 2422 as amended should be reported to the floor with a do-pass recommendation and the bill be referred to the Committee on Revenue. We'll vote aye, those opposed no, and the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Buckley.
Aye.
Representative Butler.
No.
Representative Gilman.
No.
Representative Reed.
Aye.
Representative Smith.
No.
Representative Tomei.
Aye.
Chair Beyer.
Aye. The motion passes. And thank you. All right. So I'm going to now open the public hearing on House Bill, find it, 2119. Judith.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. House Bill 2119 prohibits the display of registration plates or registration stickers on a vehicle other than the vehicle for which the plate or sticker was issued. You have before you two amendments. I would direct your attention to page 1 of the bill, lines 23 through 26 is what the amendments will be dealing with, both of them. First, the dash 2 amendments. You'll notice in sub B, line 25, it's basically a repeat of sub A. That is, sub A says it's illegal to display on a registration plate or a sticker on a vehicle other than for which it was issued. Pardon me. The dash 2 amendments would modify sub B starting on line 25 instead of kind of repeating that same admonition there. It would instead now say it's illegal to display a registration sticker that contains an expiration date that is different from the expiration date shown upon the vehicle registration records at the Department of Transportation. And the dash 3 amendments exempt vehicle dealers from sub A. That is, it would allow a dealer that has a valid dealer's plate and is using it in an authorized manner, it would exempt them from sub A, which in fact then would still allow them to display that plate on a vehicle other than for what the plate was registered for. We do have a no revenue impact already received on this measure. We're still waiting on the fiscal. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Glenn Chastain.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Glenn Chastain. I'm a lieutenant with the State Police, currently assigned out of our Patrol Services Division. I'll make this very brief. The bill is, the intent of this is currently, if somebody switches license plates or license stickers, the decals for your registration stickers, there is no current statute that actually applies. What is being used right now is officers are using the expired registration or no registration on a vehicle. So the intent here is, instead of being a Class D violation for the inadvertent not getting your license or your registration renewed, this is for people who are intentionally taking license plates off one vehicle or stickers off one vehicle, intentionally placing them on another vehicle. This would put this language in the statute that is currently under your illegal alteration or display of a registration plate, and ups the violation to a Class B violation, which is more of an incentive to not be doing this type of behavior and switching license plates and registration stickers. And I'd be happy to answer any questions if you may have some.
Representative Butler. Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Officer Chastain. I have a couple of questions, and please bear with me if you may. This really deals with just switching the stickers, and we're not talking about accidentally when we have three or four cars out in the yard and the set of stickers comes in. This is some intentional moving of the sticker that says 2008 for this registration on this automobile, sticking it on the plates that say 2006 and pasting that over the top, and to do so with the intention of defrauding the state out of a registration, a current registration of an active automobile that's actually on the highways.
Madam Chair, Representative Butler, that's exactly it, and that is one of the intentions for placing it under the illegal alteration or display, because there is a culpable mental state in that statute. So, no, the accidental placing stickers on one vehicle versus the other vehicle, or not placing the stickers on, you have them on your dash or on your seat, you just haven't put them on, that would not apply to this. This is the intentionally or knowingly switching out stickers or even switching full license plates from one vehicle to another vehicle.
Okay, and then the follow-up, if I may. This has nothing to do with, when I read the statute relative to stickers, this has nothing to do with people who might put on a license plate, not obscuring the plate itself. It has nothing to do with them putting on a beaver or a duck or something like that up in the top corner of the plate to show that they are that they might support veterans or one school over another.
Madam Chair and Representative Butler, no. The language that is in this bill does not have to do anything with any other part of the plate. The current language is you cannot alter your license plate. Okay. So but this piece that we were asking for is specifically for those people that are knowingly taking, for example, they have two vehicles. One vehicle they can't get registered, so they take the license plate off of one, place it on the other so that they can operate the vehicle. That is the intent behind this.
Okay, and my final question then, this business of altering a license plate, and this is very important to my family because we have a license plate in my family which we value very, very highly, and the license plate says, in the first two slots says we, and in the last two slots says OR, and in the middle there's a heart, and the heart is an alteration of the plate. Is that, are we going to be stopped and arrested as a result of the okay. We Love Oregon plate?
Now, what was your plate number?
That's it. We blank blank OR.
Madam Chair and Representative Butler, the language that we have proposed does not address that. That would be in the current language that is in the current statute on altering a vehicle license. So the bill here, that is not what it is addressing.
So I'm assuming, Madam Chair, from that then, that the officer that stops us and arrests us must hate Oregon.
Representative Gilman.
I don't know if I can change that. Officer, it is illegal. I assumed it was illegal right now to switch a plate. It is not illegal.
Madam Chair, Representative Gilman, current language does not prohibit that in language. So what officers are using right now is they're using the either like expired or they're using some other current statutes that are a violation. They're a Class D violation. Here again, this bill, putting the language in the altering of a license plate, has a Class B violation, which is a much steeper fine for that type of a violation. So under current language, yes, we can issue the citation for not having the vehicle registered or failing to re-register a vehicle. We can use those statutes for people that are intentionally switching plates. However, this specifically will then list that as a violation and up the classification to a B violation.
Representative Tomei.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Mr. Sergeant Chastain, whatever you are. So what is the penalty for a Class B violation?
Madam Chair, Representative Tomei, a Class D violation currently under the minimum base fine is $97, and a Class B would be $242.
Follow up. So you want it to be a Class B as in boy, correct?
Madam Chair, Representative Tomei, that is correct. A Class B being the higher violation for doing something intentionally like this and not doing something accidentally like forgetting to re-register your vehicle or not putting the tags on or putting them on the wrong vehicle. Those would be a non-intentional. That's why the Class D violation fits more appropriately there.
Okay. And again, so what is the penalty for Class B violation?
B, Madam Chair, Representative Tomei, Class B is $242.
Okay, great. Thank you so much.
Any other questions?
And there's no fiscal on this? Is that what we were told?
Madam Chair, Representative Butler, we have not received a fiscal. We have a no revenue impact. Have not heard from fiscal yet on this.
Okay, well, you've got the statutory issues that are surrounding the training and those kinds of things relative to this, but my concern is that it certainly appears that there would be additional court costs and the revenue implication of it. So I would be surprised if it didn't have either some fiscal and or some revenue impact.
Representative Smith.
Thank you, Madam Chair. How do you catch these people? Is it once they get pulled over and you run the plate?
Madam Chair, Representative Smith, yes. You would have to run the plate through DMV files and find out what type of vehicle that it is registered under. And if there's a question, you can verify it with the vehicle identification number, the VIN, so you can verify and cross-reference. Also, the paperwork that's in the vehicle when we ask for driver's license and registration is another way that we can compare to make sure that the license plate is the plate that was issued to that vehicle. Stickers do have numbers on them. However, they are not in a database that we can verify those like we can a license plate. But if need be, we can contact DMV and actually make a verification on those stickers.
Just a quick follow-up. I guess it would be my view that if this is intentional, it ought to be even stiffer than it is. With that said, how significant of an issue is this in terms of how many, in relating to Representative Butler's questions, how many incidences do you anticipate?
Madam Chair, Representative Smith, it's more frequent than you would think. People cannot get their license or their registration renewed because they cannot get insurance, they're suspended, or other reasons, and they cannot get their vehicle registered so that they will take plates or stickers off of other vehicles so that they look or appear legal on the road. So it's more common than you would think.
Now, it's my understanding that you and the truckers were working out an issue on this particular bill, and I don't see them here to say whether or not this has been settled, or am I right?
Madam Chair, the one amendment that I knew was the one dealing with the auto dealers, and they were concerned that they were placing these D plates or their dealer plates from one vehicle to another, and the concern they had was, does this apply? When we were working on the language for this, we didn't think that that was an issue. However, if they want to put amendments in there to have an exemption, we do not have a problem with it. And if the trucking industry has an issue and wants to bring up some amendments, we're more than willing to work with them and have additional amendments drafted up.
Don't they have an amendment that addresses it? I thought they did.
Right, for the dealers.
Dash 3.
I'm wondering about the
truckers.
Oh, the truckers?
Oh, okay. Okay, sorry. Thank you. Seeing no other questions, is there the committee want to think about this for a while or ready to go?
Madam Chair, I just have the question of is a 150% increase in the fine a big enough deterrent to stop this from happening, or is it just to raise revenue? Again, if it's solely to raise revenue, then this bill needs to be referred to the Revenue Committee. No evidence was given, and maybe Officer as Lieutenant Chastain would come forward. Is this going to deter this from happening? And if it's just to raise the revenue on it, then it needs to be referred to revenue and taken care of as a revenue bill. But if we're truly going to be able to stop some activity that is a blatant activity that's an illegal activity, then we'd ought to. I don't know about that. I would think.
Madam Chair, Representative Butler, the intent here is not to raise revenue. State Police is the one that asked for this bill, and we do not get revenue from our citation. So there is no intent to get the revenue. It is to elevate the violation to more appropriately fit the intentional act of trying to run a vehicle without proper registration.
And Madam Chair, I'm aware that their salaries are not based upon the amounts of revenue that are collected. My concern is if the intent then is to elevate the awareness and elevate the fines so that people who do this on a regular basis just because they can't get insurance and they are intending to defraud and will then if Lieutenant Chastain will tell us that this will deter this activity in the future by increasing the fine from $90 plus to $242, then at that particular point I don't have a problem with it. But if these folks are going to do this anyway, poor folks sometimes have four ways, and I'm sorry to say that it may just encourage those folks to go further behind in some outstanding obligations.
Thank you. Representative Buckley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Buckley, just to respond, it's hard to prove a negative. It's hard to prove this won't happen because of this action. There's a certain logic to it that says once word is out that this is the penalty, a higher penalty for that, for this crime, perhaps logically that will deter, but it's tremendously hard to prove a negative.
And I would respond, thank you, Representative I would respond to that if you have people who are doing this on a regular basis and they've been fined the $97 three times and they continue to do it, then I'm saying the elevation of from a Class D, David, to a Class B, Bob, violation is probably the correct thing to do, because now, rather than paying $97 every time they get caught, all of a sudden they're going to be paying $242 and they're going to say, wait a minute, maybe I better change my actions. And that's all I'm asking him to tell me, is that he thinks that this will actually, that number one, you've got people that have multiple Class D, David, violations, that this will encourage them to do the correct thing rather than be subject to the $242 Class B Bob fines.
Well, I'd be interested in hearing a response.
Yeah.
And Madam Chair, Representative Butler, that is the intent. And it's the same type of intent that you, the legislative body, passed Senate Bill 780, which authorized law enforcement to actually tow a vehicle based on people being suspended or not having a driver's license and not having insurance, with the intent to right what you are doing wrong. And that was the intent of this bill, is to make the fine more appropriate to the intentional act of doing something and then a need to go down and either get their insurance, get whatever taken care of so they can re-register their vehicle and become legal.
And so the final question is, Lieutenant Chastain, you professionally believe that this will change, this will alter the behavior of some of those folks who have practiced this in the past?
Madam Chair, Representative Butler, believe that once the information is out, that you're not just going to get a $97 fine, a slap on the wrist, versus a $242 citation, and it may take them only one time, but the hope is yes, they will go out and correct whatever is wrong so that they can become in compliance.
Excellent. Thank you very much. That's what I needed to hear.
Thank you, Representative. Are you finding that it's the same people that are doing this, or is it just all over the board?
Madam Chair, I can't really say it's the same people, but it's usually somebody that they're doing this because they cannot get their vehicle registered legally. So to bypass that and make the vehicle appear to be legal, they're either getting stickers from another vehicle or taking license plates off of either their own vehicle or another vehicle that have current registration stickers.
And we were going to leave my family out of it.
All right, we'll try. Representative Smith.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I have no basis for the statement other than this thing's criminal to me. It just seems very, very wrong. And to me, this is beyond just a speeding ticket or something. This is, to me, this seems, as Representative Butler used the word earlier, fraudulent. And so I support this, but to me it seems like there ought to be a stiffer penalty on this.
And Madam Chair, Representative Smith, that is the intent, is to get that elevated up, because it is an intentional act.
Right.
And if it is theft of license plates or theft, we as law enforcement can take the action on the theft also. But this one is for, I have two vehicles. One I've got current stickers on, one I don't, and it's flip-flopping them back and forth so I can use the vehicle. I'm not stealing anything, but yes, I am fraudulently taking action. So the elevation to a Class B is more appropriate for what's happening.
One last question, Madam Chair.
Paula.
So what about legislators who have two plates for the same vehicle, a state rep, district 57, and also a traditional plate?
Madam Chair.
Both, by law.
Yeah, Madam Chair, Representative Smith, you by law can have those two license plates. You're issued those license plates for that vehicle.
All right, so you're not going to haul Representative Buckley away.
Madam Chair, Representative Smith.
All right, good. I'll support this. If you're not hauling him away, I'm going to.
Now with that district member.
We protect him
I guess the one thing as I look at kind of the summary that says prohibits display of registration plate or registration sticker on such and such, and I think about sitting on the floor and having this bill come in front of me, and I'd be saying, but isn't that already illegal? I mean, what do you say that we've added the knowingly?
Madam Chair, the knowingly is currently in the statute where this new language came in. It's knowingly altering a license plate is the current statute.
Okay.
This is adding language knowingly altering or operating with an illegal plate. So it's just adding some subsections into the already altering a license plate statute.
Okay.
And Madam Chair, did we hear from the trucking industry?
We have not, but we will invite them up. Thank you. Mr. Russell, welcome.
Thank you. Madam Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Bob Russell with the Oregon Trucking Associations. We don't have any problems at all with this bill. However, there is a little technical fix that needs to take place, and that's in the Dash 2 amendments, which you should have. And what the Dash 2 amendments do, if you look at lines 25 and 26 of the bill, it says displays registration stickers that were issued for a vehicle other than the vehicle on which the stickers are displayed. And what that says to me is that each sticker has to be issued for a particular vehicle, or it has to be vehicle specific, which is not the case today. So in our case, for example, a fleet will get 750 stickers, and they'll go slap them on all the plates, and we're good. If we had to match the sticker numbers to the particular vehicles, it would drive us crazy. But more importantly, it would dramatically increase the expense for DMV and for motor carrier. So what the Dash 2 amendments do, and we worked this out with OSP, is it says that the sticker and the plate have to be registered for the same registration period, so they're both current. And then everything's okay. It still meets the intent of what OSP is after, but it doesn't make that sticker vehicle-specific.
Question, Manager.
Yes, Representative.
So, Bob, with the language that contain an expiration date that is different from the expiration date shown on the vehicle registration records of the DMV, basically provides that sticker stays with the fleet because it has the same expiration date as the plate.
Correct.
So you're okay with that. You're okay with the Dash 2.
Madam Chair, Representative Butler, that's correct.
Okay.
No other questions. Thank you for coming in. I was beginning to think I was crazy. Okay, I'm going to close the public hearing and I guess open a work session on House Bill 2119.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Representative
Madam
Butler.
Chair, I move the Dash 2 amendments to House Bill 2119, dated 3507.
Thank you. Representative Butler moves the Dash 2 amendments dated 3507 to House Bill 2119. Any discussion? Seeing none, those of you without objection? Dash 2 amendments adopted.
Madam Chair, I move the Dash 3 amendments to Dash 2 House Bill 2119.
Representative Butler has moved the Dash 3 amendments to House Bill 2119, dated 3:15:07. Any discussion? Seeing none, any objections? No? Dash 3 amendments are adopted.
Madam Chair, I move House Bill 2119, as amended with the Dash 2 and the Dash 3 amendments appended thereto, to the House floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Butler moves House Bill 2119 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Seeing none, those of the opinion House Bill 2119 as amended should be reported to the floor with a due pass recommendation will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will call the roll.
Representative Buckley.
Aye.
Representative Butler.
Yes.
Representative Gilman.
Aye.
Representative Reed.
Aye.
Representative Smith.
Aye.
Representative Tomei.
Aye.
Chair Byer.
Aye. Motion carries.
Madam Chair, I think this is not a huge change from what it was before. I think it could go on the consent calendar. It basically what it does is changes it from a Class D to a Class B.
And besides that, it's going to be hard to
Madam Chair, I'm concerned about members that might be changing their license plates in this committee. I think I'm just a little, and particularly with the size of the fine increase from 97 to 242, I think that probably is something that needs to come onto the floor so that the members have an opportunity to know that we are changing from a B to a, or from a D to a B relative to the magnitude of the violation.
I recommend that Representative
Butler
carry it.
It has been moved, Representative Butler, to carry this bill. Any objections?
He was pointing at me. The next time he's not here for 5 minutes, we're going to pass it on. He's going to carry it. I can feel that one coming.
Thank you. And since you're so convinced, this is going to make a big difference. That'll help your carry.
Judith will help me with that. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Representative Butler will carry this bill on the floor. I'm going to close the work session on House Bill 2119. I'll do that again. And I'm going to close committee for today and thank everybody for coming. We'll see you on Wednesday.
I know it's fun.